Welcome to the Visions of a Better World podcast. Today, Max and I are joined by Usita Ifezue, a freelance writer, podcaster, storyteller, strategist, and founder of Integrate, which is a nonprofit focused on grassroots development and community building here in Finland. So thank you so much, Usita, for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It's really nice to be here because it's been a long time working with you guys. Not too long, but I feel like it's been quite a while. And I've really appreciated the energy you guys bring to the table in terms of looking at ways to solve some of the problems that we have and, you know, looking at voices that needs to be highlighted. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here with us. And could you maybe please first start off by introducing yourself and telling us a bit about how you came to live in Finland and the story of Integrate as well.
I try to be as simple as much as I can in terms of what I remember. I probably might start with my journey coming to Finland, how it happened. I first moved out of Nigeria in 1999. I went to Brazil to pursue an education in the University of Brasilia in economics. And I stayed there for some time, but I really felt I was too young and I missed home. So I left, abandoned my study, which was really something that I don't know if I regret it today, but it's a different path that it brought me to. So I left, went back to Nigeria. Then while there, I started exploring the opportunity of, you know, because once you've gone out, you've seen how the world looks, you've gotten access to information, you cannot quench that taste for, you know, information, wanting to know more. So I started exploring opportunities to study again somewhere. And I found that actually I didn't know Finland existed, never knew that. I know about Sweden. So Sweden was the country I actually applied to study in, but my application somehow didn't get through and, you know, the deadline closed. But when I started searching information, and this was back in the days when for you to get information in that part of the world, you have to go actually out of your homes. There were no internets at home. You know, you got to go to a cyber cafe. I used to go out quite late at night, you know, when the offices were closed, then started browsing for information, and I found that Finland offered the ability to come study for free, which was also one of the opportunities that I used when I went to Brazil. And it just went from there. I came to study economics at the University of Helsinki, and the idea early on was, being in Finland, I understood as an immigrant, you really have like a very difficult task to be successful, because I questioned myself very early on, and this was based on the conversations that I was having early on in the days with people on the streets, people I met, you know, asking questions, how hard is it to live here, information from the relevant places. And I found out very early on that as an immigrant, you might probably not have the biggest opportunity to have jobs in terms of integrating well into the society by studying economics as an immigrant. So I actually decided to study a vocational skill at Omnia, where I did machine assembly. And the goal of that was, I kind of found that in order for me to get access to jobs, because I knew that languages were one of the problems that I faced, I needed to learn language in order to get access to just that kind of would provide me a career path. But because it was not possible early on, so I had to do like a detour, which was a 3-year vocational qualification just to get the relevant skill. And that really helped me because I was able to get a job quite immediately after that. And that was it. From there on, I started pursuing other degrees in Finland after my studies. And that was concurrently with my job at the same time. So it was basically my journey to, you know, coming to Finland. And it's hard for me to actually put it in words, like you can see, because I've not actually thought about it in a way that, okay, this is where I'm coming from and this is where I am now. So, well, yeah, it's been a journey so far.
And what about the story of Integrate then?
With Integrate, when I came to Finland, with the information that I was getting from talking to people, I found out that it probably was a very difficult place for an immigrant, especially an immigrant from an African descent, to survive. So I started thinking about problems and solutions. This was a problem. I want to be successful in this country. I want to give my best. I want to tap into the value that, you know, they offer, and I want to offer my value. But I saw it was not going to be possible. So I started talking to people who I felt dealt with similar situations, which is, how is it possible to get jobs here? How do I live here? How do I make the best? How do I integrate into the community? How do I open doors for myself? And the information I was getting from people was like, hey, this is not an option. And I can give an example. For example, one guy I was talking to about, hey, why don't we really give an effort to learn this language? And he told me basically, hey, what's the point of learning this language? I'm going to be here about 4 or 5 years. And from what we see, obviously, we are not going to get the best opportunities that we might get elsewhere. So definitely, I'm going to try it elsewhere. And this was a general notion around, because people felt, okay, I'm going to be here for a short time, whatever it is. It could be for studies, and I'm going to somewhere I know I would get better opportunities. So that was something I thought, hey, I know this probably is a problem that we do not have a solution to, but we should start talking about these things. We should start shining the light on these things in a way that they would help people understand what we are dealing with. It's only when they understand that they can start offering real solutions to it. So Integrate started not like something serious. It started like just, you know, talking to people on the street. And the sentiment then was like, it's a waste of time. But luckily, I was able to bump into a few guys who had the same feelings like I had. And we just started talking. You know, we rented spaces in Maria 01 and somewhere in, I don't remember where they used to have Microsoft offices close to Dana. So we were, you know, kind of looked for spaces where people were, and, you know, became evangelists per se in terms of what do we do, what have you experienced, what can we do to make integration better, how can we provide access to information to people, how do we build communities. And somehow our message caught on, because people were dealing with real problems. These were problems that people were dealing with. So they wanted to know, okay, what's the solution? Or even if there was no solution, but it was really nice to actually see people with common views coming together to share their thoughts. And those various experiences, what they did was kind of help us understand that there was a common thread that ran through those problems. And that was, there was a lack of understanding of what an immigrant or what being an immigrant means, how the life of an average immigrant is. And there was a lot of programs that the institutions were offering. But these programs were quite alienated from what the average immigrant wants as the solution. And that was where I thought, okay, hey, let's keep talking and just, you know, probably have a panel discussion. And in this panel discussions, what we could do, just talk about these things. And anyone that hears it probably would keep getting a better understanding of what, you know, our issues are. And that was where we took off from. And like, you know, we've been 6 years working. And one of the beauties of what we are doing, and I'm really proud of it, is that for that 6 years, we've run on no external funding. It's basically we bring in our skills, whatever resources we have in terms of money, in terms of, you know, talent, what we can do, put it together. And we have been able to accomplish this. And with this said, I would really want to thank some of the guys that I've worked with. There's this guy that is Paul Keggy, who has been like a very strong supporter from early on. He didn't know how this problem was going to be solved, but he was always willing to say, so what are we doing? We are global. And these are people who are like professionals. They have jobs in their, you know, they've matured to have jobs in their field. And they were sacrificing something to do this in terms of time away from family, time away from making money, working, but just seeing that, hey, we kind of could do things by coming together. And there are whole lots of them that I would love to mention. And they know that they've been really active in helping build what we have now as Integrate.
Thank you so much for all those points. I think that's a really important thing that maybe isn't talked about so much in the media either, is that these solutions also need to come from within the immigrant community. And you, of course, understand, you have the best insights on the struggles that your community faces. I think the second question that we had was actually with your interactions with other immigrants in Finland, and then what are like the common struggles and also success stories? I mean, just now you said maybe a few, but are there other like similar stories where someone, especially skilled workers, face these things where they don't have the opportunity, so they end up leaving? Because that is, of course, that's a big waste of resources for Finland. And we need people, as we know, we need skilled workers to stay. So maybe just the common struggles and also some of those success stories.
Thank you. It's a problem that still I don't think that the institution or the government they've had a grip on. And why do I say this? Because if you ask the average immigrant now who's been on average for about 10 years in Finland, they would tell you, unless I have a serious commitment here, and that's in terms of family or a very good job, I'm leaving at some point. This is a general notion, and we cannot hide that fact. And the fact that the government is making policies now that are targeted, of course, towards making people stay. But from our perspective, these measures are very counterproductive. And why do I say that? You would have heard that 3 months to have the ability to get a job if you lose a job, the extension of about, you know, the residence permit period before you qualify to become a citizen to about 8 years. Policies like this, or mandating people that they must learn the language, they are counterproductive. As long as we understand that they are trying to stem the tide of people leaving the country after getting the best education, getting access to being a Finn, but that's not the best solution. So the solution might be trying to understand, what are the needs of these people? Why are they leaving? And as long as the issue of belonging is not addressed, people would always leave to where value or where they are valued more. And this is something that needs to really be looked into. Why people left? And I would give some examples here. I studied it about 10, let me count now, because when I was looking at this, I thought about 10 of my friends, at least, that I came to Finland with. And all of them are in different parts of the world. After studying, they struggled for a very long time to get jobs in Finland. And these were brilliant people. They had the best of grades. But one guy in particular moved back to Nigeria. And he's like a big executive now in one of the biggest national companies in Nigeria. And this was someone that knew early on when we were discussing that. I'm not going to bring myself down by doing jobs under my qualification because it doesn't help me grow. So if there's no possibility, and I see there's no possibility of me getting a career progression, I would look elsewhere. If there's no possibility of feeling that I am part of this society, I belong here, I want to contribute my best to the society, it's a no-brainer that people would leave. And what we've seen is that there are a lot of figures that come out in terms of what governments, institutions, or nonprofits are doing in terms of solving these problems. And the statistics, they look good. But the statistics and the experience on the ground, so detached. So that detachment is what we need to be examining. Why is it happening? And it still comes to the question of, if I don't feel I am part or going to be part of a place, in any way that my voice is heard, that I feel seen, that my value is tapped, I would always look for options elsewhere. And that is what is happening to a lot of immigrants. And unfortunately, I'm hearing this more and more now, that the information regarding the policy change is coming out. As people are understanding, okay, these are things that are happening, or this is something that the government is planning, a lot of people are planning, okay, hey, what other countries are an option for me? Where do they have possibility to speak English language, probably? Where are they going to see my qualifications and be grab hold of it? And this is where it gets really sad. The moment you leave Finland and you have a Finnish degree, you are so valued. So why are we not taking that value from home? When the government spends so much money training people, and after that training, they leave to countries where they start paying taxes to those countries, we are losing quite a lot. And I think I've calculated these figures a lot. And if we put like a number to it, between 2005 and 2015, where the average cost of about, you know, training a student for a year is about 10,000 euros. For 4 years, that's about 40,000 euros. If 10,000 people left Finland after having gotten education of 40,000 euros, if you do the math, you would know how much that is impacting me and you as a taxpayer. So unless we start looking at these very, very little things and how it sums up to become big things, we would not have real solutions to the problem.
Thank you, Asita. I think that is like also in terms of, well, we'll maybe get back to this a bit later, but I was just thinking immediately in terms of innovation and all the things that, like, all this lost potential. These are really intelligent people. Like, you have to have the best grades to get into these schools. And often if you're the feeling of, if you graduate and you have the best grades and you've been succeeding in your field, then to get to this job market where you just don't get through, it's so depressing. I mean, it must cause, like, bad for mental health, and then also just the value you feel, it makes you feel worthless if you're in a job market for a long time and you have the skills and you know that you have a lot to offer and you can't utilize those skills. But we could talk a bit more about this at the end, but in your blog article that you wrote for us, you mentioned about the youth of the Finnish immigrant community. So these are actually often Finns now who have been, either they're born in Finland or they're going to school, young children, then how they were completely unaware of companies such as Kone and Supercell and the opportunities Finland actually has. So how much do you think this type of representation is already affecting these young people and how they consider their own futures in Finland? Because they, of course, should have all the options now. If they're already studying in Finland, then they have years of studying ahead. They can get degrees and they should be able to achieve the same results as everyone else, in theory, if we think of it in terms of just of access to education. But how do you feel this representation issues of not seeing people like themselves in roles in these companies is affecting the youth of Finland today in the immigrant community?
Yeah. If you think about Finland, we know it's a land where you know someone that would always recommend you forward. So if I know you and I can say, yes, this guy is really good, I can say, hey, he's able to do this job. And we think that in most of these companies, Supercell, Kone, let's look at their demographic. How many immigrants hold jobs in those places? I was working for a medical technology company where maybe one time or two times in a year or something like that, you know, you're allowed to bring your kids to work. And the goal is they're able to see, you know, and they decide, oh, probably I might join my parent, you know, in this line of work. If we think about that, when there's no representation in these continents, how then can kids from those backgrounds have one leg inside the door of those continents, which we know is one thing that really happens in Finland in a way. Of course, we know that it's a place where people work on merit, but at the same time, we know how difficult it is for someone who doesn't have that access to have those doors open to them. So this is something that we've seen, that a lot of immigrant kids, they end up in service areas. By service areas, we are meaning like working in McDonald's, working in, you know, jobs that are quite okay, well-paying, but it doesn't encourage them or challenge them to be the very best of themselves. I recently had this workshop with 9th graders in one of the schools in Helsinki, and it opened my eyes a bit also to these problems. Because a lot of them from immigrant backgrounds, we could see the disconnect a bit. Like, okay, hey, these people are gathering themselves in a corner. And if you notice the interaction between the local Finn, when I mean local Finn, a child born to both parents being Finn or one from immigrant background, you tend to see this trend that even though there's interaction between someone of mixed background or foreign background and a local child, the interaction doesn't stay too long. There's a kind of disconnect that they don't really know how to connect. Why? Because there are no avenues where people have this kind of interactions except in schools. And these interactions, if it doesn't happen outside the school environment where it is controlled, where you have to learn by a structured way, compared to when you go outside, you play on the streets with these guys, you do something outside the normal learning period that you start to understand, oh, this is how these people do, and you get comfortable. But you find this trend that immigrant kids or people with immigrant background tend to be on one group and connect very well. And those with a Finnish background connect very well. So that separation, what happens, it continues like that into the work life. And this is something that needs to really be addressed, because unless these kids are given the same opportunity, and a different way or different approach might need to be taken, which is, we know that people get into places with the access, aside from merit, you know, the access to, you know, people they know. So how can we also make it possible that these people, these kids, get that access on a merit basis, and they are shown that information? Because oftentimes when school counselors, you know, think, because, hey, your language skill is not so perfect and you wouldn't really fit working in these companies, probably you might really think of pursuing a vocational qualification. You might think of, you know, working in such areas, and which is something that is not doing well for most kids, because they end up being boggled with, you know, people, or end up in careers that they should not be in. And that's the start of dissatisfaction. I'm actually going to point out one research I read recently about this. And this was research, I think I wrote the paper down, and the idea of this Obuchini, you know, poverty and overcrowding among immigrant children in an emerging destination. And it took the evidence in Finland. The idea of this is, he in that research showed that when a parent is poor, the likelihood that the kids continue to be poor is there. And this is what is happening to a lot of immigrants, because immigrants, when they come, they need to struggle with integration. They need to find a way to survive. Income level is not the same. And these are all impacts on the well-being and how the kids, you know, get out of poverty. Of course, the research shows that some kids have successfully been able to get out of poverty, but it also highlights that the factor of discrimination is often not considered, which is something that impacts. And that's something that we, or I have tried to actually do by highlighting individual stories of people. And this is really strong because when you understand that the story of someone could push others to act, then we start highlighting that more. And this is what I try to do now. For example, if you think recently, you find that immigrants are kind of, I want to say this in a way that suicide for immigrants is something that wasn't heard before. In those communities, you never hear someone, hey, it's so hard. My well-being is impacted that I'm going to take my life. But why is that becoming a trend? Because we've seen 1, 2, 3 cases like that happen, which was never heard of in the past 20, 30 years in Finland, but it's becoming a trend now. So some of these things we need to start examining. And that comes from dissatisfaction. That comes from no access out of, you know, problems that they find themselves and access to resources that, you know, would help them get out of this, you know, poverty places. So the idea is with kids, access to information that would help them see, okay, I qualify, because some of them don't even look at these as options. And their parents are not so informed to tell them that, hey, because if you're not in those organizations, you cannot have access to information about those places. So they only offer information based on how much they know and can offer and can probably give to their kids. And this is really impacting access to those places.
Thank you, Asita, especially highlighting the issue of mental health like you just did. Of course, that is something that is going to be a huge stress on people already facing numerous stresses than just the fact that it will impact mental health so much that it may lead to those extreme cases that need to be addressed. And also, I think that for young people, there's a lot more hope, though, that we have a chance to actually start investing in their well-being now already. And I think a follow-up question to the previous one was that I was thinking about is how could companies help create more inclusive environments, encourage the younger Finnish immigrant generations to feel they belong and have opportunities? Like, could they create specific opportunities? I'm thinking immediately about this TET harjoittelu that you have in the schools when they're 15, where you go to a different place to get to know the place. Like, that could be something companies perhaps could do. Do you think there's, like, could companies actually start taking a more active and specific role, because this course is going to be the workforce that they want in the next 10 to 20 years? So could they start investing already in ways to create more inclusive environments so that these younger generations actually know that they have got opportunities here?
Yes, and they are doing. I think I would say, I would be, let's say, let's be fair. Some of these companies, they are trying to reach out. They are, and we find that it's happening more than ever now, because there's a need. The need for this is seen. The labor force in Finland is dwindling. In the next 15, 20 years, you know, we would need new skills, and these skills are going to come from people from diverse backgrounds. And the question is, are we preparing them to step into those roles? Because we need to start thinking how to start doing things a different way. Finland has always been a homogeneous society, and that has changed in a very short period of time. And unfortunately, I don't think we are ready, or we were prepared enough to deal with what we have been handed, which is a heterogeneous society now. People think differently. If you think in a place where 1, 2, 3 Finns, look, I mean, when I buy Finns, I'm a Finn, immigrants who have been able to nationalize our Finns, but the idea, the local Finns, you find that 1, 2, 3 of them staying in one place and someone from a different background coming in, it can present itself as a bit uncomfortable. because this is a place where you're used to speaking the same language. And all of a sudden, you got to accommodate someone who is speaking a different language, who is doing things differently than we do. It's hard, but it's what we need to do to prepare for the future. If we start thinking about investing more in information, and that means go to the places where these people are found. That's the only way. And when we think about how we can build the long-term well-being of these guys, it would increase productivity in ways that we are not prepared for. And when I talk about increasing productivity, if you think about the well-being of an average immigrant, we don't often consider some of the things that they have to deal with in terms of factors from home. Some of them might be war, and a lot of them still have to take on bigger responsibilities back home. And at times, some of this impacts the ability for them to give time to their kids. When we factor all this and find out that parenting in that way could also be done by most of these institutions, like schools, and even like find a way to connect at the level that these people understand, that's the point where we kind of start looking at or seeing solutions to the problems of, you know, this disconnect of people not having access to those jobs. And this is something that needs to be done in a way that we start getting out of our comfort zone and start thinking about, okay, how do we get these ones to start looking at coming out? Because this is also a question of trust. Most of these individuals we're talking about, especially from the parents' perspective, are not really, when they deal with institutions like this, they don't believe that these guys have their best interest in heart. So that's one way, one place to start. The ability, okay, to say, okay, actually, when we go through this process, when we are trying to reach out to you, we really have your best interest at heart. We want to see how we can tap into the values you bring, and you can tap also into the value we are giving. So unless that is really stated very early on, that it's seen that, okay, this is not another, so to say, gimmick to actually get funds and actually, you know, not open opportunities for people who really need it, then it's something that we can start thinking, okay, how do we start offering real solution? And that is by going to places where these guys are and offering access to those solutions. And probably schools want places to start early on, because we find that in schools now, a lot of people from immigrant backgrounds, I don't know how much, because I'm not in that environment, how much these organizations go to schools to display some of their information to those who really need it. How much do they try to connect to the, you know, parents of these guys? Because also they really have a say in the career path their kids choose. So actually providing these ones information and access to those information would really help in changing the dynamic of that. Get these guys getting access or opening doors, you know, to these companies where normally would not have access to.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Really interesting. Is there still something more to say about the possible solutions to make immigration work better? Could you elaborate on this even further? And what are, for example, some of the solutions that come from within the immigrant community itself?
Some of the solutions that we can offer from the immigrant community is the ability to help understand what we want as solutions. Often, sometimes when institutions, probably like a nonprofit targeted towards well-being, is giving a solution, often they provide these solutions in a way that they feel that, hey, it connects, but there remains this disconnect, because when the solutions are not the things that these guys need, then it's a problem. And this is something that we found, for example, I would give an instance now. Access to funds as an entrepreneur. is something that a lot of immigrants struggle with. And what does that mean? You might have a very good business idea. You might have all the possibilities to have a good team. But at times when some of these guys pitch, you find that the funds, the funding that they have access to, is not the same funding that some locals do have. And this does not improve the entrepreneurial setting. And this is something that really needs to be looked at. Because, for example, I remember, I ventured into entrepreneurship in 2018. Before that, I was working in a medical technology company. And the idea of this was, I said I was going to quit my job to pursue entrepreneurship. And people thought I was crazy. Like in Finland, an immigrant entrepreneur, it doesn't work. But I would tell you, from then on until now, a lot has happened. And this could be probably because if I look for jobs and I don't get it, I look for an option to become an entrepreneur. And now it's really, really growing. So people are more entrepreneurial. People are now looking at options of, hey, can I start a business? But if they don't have access to the same funds that could help them develop their businesses or resources, then it's still the same question of, they are not able to get access to jobs that we have denied them access to for a very long time. So this is something that probably might need to be looked into further. How do we actually support more immigrant entrepreneurs? How do we unnest their skills in a way that these guys could actually open doors to new markets? And what do I mean? I'm from Nigeria originally. I've been able to live in this part of the world for well over two decades. I lived over two decades in my country also. So you think about the possibility of me connecting these two countries by my access to resources. I know the language in Finland. I know the language in Nigeria. I know people. When a company sees that value, then understanding that investing in that person probably means I'm able to connect to a newer market. I'm able to get a larger market than I have now. I'm able to tap into a different experience that this person is bringing. And that experience is something that, if you think about it critically, it's like an extra for most of these companies. It's an add-on. Because who best, for example, to send to Nigeria to do a business meeting for Kone, I'm giving an example here, than someone who understands the language there, could know people, and could also bring a new way of looking at issues and solutions to problems. So this is one way that we can look at, you know, the solving the problem. So promoting more immigrant entrepreneurs, giving them access to the resources that they need, and this would include information. This is one way that we can go along with solve the problems that we're facing now. And this would open new avenues for us to grow economically. And it would also promote intercultural exchanges, which we need in Finland. When we open ourselves to such changes and see that those values would over time close this gap that we're going to see in the labor market, then we would start looking at those solutions more critically than we are now, in a way that, okay, this is going to benefit not only the immigrant community, but Finland in general. So I think D, which is diversity and inclusion issues, should not be just a window dressing matter, in a way that companies want to say, hey, we are doing diversity and inclusion, and hey, we have been able to get this number of people in our organization. No, but how do we make sure that those inside could be able to bring the values that they have into the organization, and how can they also benefit from the values that the organization is offering? And that's the only way that we can do this diversity and inclusion and integrate people better into the country.
Thank you, Asita. I'll just comment quickly before Max moves to his next question. But I immediately was thinking that that is actually a really good point, just because we think of cultural differences often, especially in the media, in very negative ways, but we don't actually concentrate on the positive things that cultural differences may bring. Like, and especially if you think of like innovation and companies who are global companies who need people to understand the environments that they are on, the markets they're operating in, then it could bring us a lot. People having this type of bicultural type of value, understanding both cultures and being able to operate in both cultures, and then also what good things can they bring from their own cultures that we don't have. And these are, and this is a, an innovation thing that could be really important in the future. But thank you. I'm going to let Max continue with his question. I just wanted to say that point. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, so maybe we could still look into the future. Maybe I could ask you about your vision of a better future regarding immigration. So how could we utilize the potential of the immigrant community in the future in a better way, and thus creating a better future for us all?
I think I mentioned it a bit now, in a way that we can explore the potential that immigrants bring, because the value an immigrant bring, I say it in a way that I think the analogy of a diamond, a raw diamond. We don't pick diamonds on the top of the earth. We have to dig. We have to explore. And that's the part where these organizations need to at least look at ways from doing things, a new normal, to say, so to say. How can we start doing things differently? Because the way and times we live in demands that we start looking at things differently than we've always looked at it. And that's innovation, in a way that how can we, okay, we've been doing it, we have a process, but yeah, it works fine. Status quo is okay. But how can we disrupt the status quo in order for us to learn something new? And that's one thing that we really need in Finland now. So one thing we can do is try to start exploring more ways that we can hear more immigrant stories. And by immigrant stories, we are not talking about good ones, even the bad ones. And the bad ones means, what have we done before? How have we been doing things before that needs to change? Even though these things, they've worked for a few, how can we make it work for everyone? Because the issue is, when we focus more on community, it helps quite a lot of these problems get solved. And by community, I'm talking about, you know, communities outside, those that we know, because there needs to be this very, you know, seamless interchange between communities. And that's the ability to step out of that comfort zone. So tapping into the immigrants' potential means that we need to take these diamonds that are raw and start cleaning it up, polishing it in a way that, hey, it goes from being just a no stone to a precious stone. And that means invest in the ability for that person to be the best in the skill development, in belonging. When we start doing all these things and bring out the value in people, people will automatically that value. And this is something that we need to look differently at. I think in one of those articles I wrote, I talked about Eben, who was, when I came to Finland, Eben was my roommate. And we stayed together. And from early on, we were talking very much about Finland, the opportunities. He was an, I think, industrial engineer. But he also found it very challenging integrating into Finland. And he left after studies. Right now, he is in one of the biggest multinational companies in Nigeria, in Ghana, sorry, MTN. And you think, what did they see in him that we didn't see in Finland? Until we start thinking that way, we will keep losing values. And by values, I mean people who are supposed to contribute to the betterment of the country. When I go places and I talk to people like who have left. There's this sense of, as bad as it is that they say Finland is, there's this thing that they say, hey, things work there. I have access to this, I have access to that. And some of these guys didn't really get the full access that they had. But the fact that there's still this part of them that is there is something that we need to tap into. Until I start feeling thin, not by my passport, but by my ability to say yes. If it takes for me to stand up and fight for Finland, I would do that. And unfortunately, with a lot of immigrants, that's not where we are. So until we start seeing ways to actually tap into this, we probably might not have the best solution to these problems. So we need to start exploring. How can we do it differently? How can we see gemstones amongst us? And by seeing gemstones, that means what can this person bring, which is also the good and the bad, because you cannot discount them. But definitely, there's going to be this element of being an immigrant that sends very negative connotations outside to people. We also have to embrace that and see ways we need to address that. And that goes to the issue of discrimination. How are we dealing with discrimination? And unfortunately, in Finland, we talk about it a lot. We acknowledge that it exists, but we are doing about nothing to solve it. That might be harsh saying it, but I would give you an example. I've struggled to see one serious case of racial discrimination being prosecuted effectively in the courts. That sends a strong message across the society. So unless the government is seen to be taking strong actions against discrimination, the average person on the street will don't take it serious. And that's why you would see people are comfortable discriminating against other people. So unless we start thinking about how to make it uncomfortable for people to discriminate against other people by actually enforcing these laws, not only speaking about them, making sure that everyone is seen to be. And this is really important to state. There is no society that would get rid of racial discrimination in total. It's not possible. As long as it's profitable to some people, it would keep going on. But as long as we make it uncomfortable for someone to discriminate against the next person, we would not have an equitable society. And this comes from we saying, okay, how do I speak up when the next man is discriminated against? How do I challenge the status quo, which is it's okay to do nothing. It's okay to keep silent, especially when it benefits me. But when I start seeing that I have a skin in the game, even when at my own cost, what does that mean? Imagine two people apply for a position, and all of us, I know that definitely one person qualifies over the next person, but they are seen to be, you know, privileged in one way. When things like this are glaring, and are not addressed. So if I am the one in that position that I've benefited from that privilege, the question is, and I know it's unfair, am I willing to do what it takes to speak up that actually what I see here wasn't correct? And I think a lot of people would not really do that when it's in their best interest. And that's because of many factors. One, which could be the lack of enough opportunities for everybody. So if you get it, you hold on to it. But until we start seeing that if it could happen to me, it could happen to the next man, and I could speak up and do something to address it, then we probably might not have a good solution. So doing something about discrimination, sending a strong message is one of the solutions. Creating access to information is another way that this could help. And understanding and offering real solutions to the problem. And I think finally, see the gems that others bring. See the value. See the diamond in them. That's going to help us in the long run, you know.
Yeah, thank you. These are very important ideas and points. Maybe we could finally ask a bit more about your own future, or maybe Ashley has a question in between.
Yeah, I thought I can quickly comment. I just wanted to say that I think that's a really good point, is this question of being uncomfortable, because that is, I think, immigration and the discussion, everything makes us feel a bit uncomfortable. I'm a mother, I have two children, and already from when I was growing up, then it's changed so much. Like, we have lots of different children from all the different places. And I think that what I've noticed just within our group is there is more of a interest in kind of, we're getting to know the parents and we are including and inviting each other to parties, etc. Even though I know this is just a very closed and upper specific group who are doing this. But I think that is a good question that we should all kind of, as Finns, ask ourselves, like, if we believe in equality and we want this immigration problem to be solved, then we have to ask ourselves those uncomfortable questions. Like, what are we willing to do? Are we going to speak up if we witness racism? Are we going to actually really take a moral stance on those issues of opportunity, etc.? So I think those were really good points. And one final point was, I read recently an article about this. I think he was a Somali background youth. He was in the news. He's this athlete and great student. And he had this really good, he said it in such a great way, because it was a discussion of gang violence, etc. And he said that we should be asking the question, how can Finland be the country who resolves the issue of this gang violence? And we can say to everyone that this is what we did and this is how we solved it. And I thought that was something that was good, that we should kind of think about that a bit more. How could we be the best? How could we actually come up with the solution that everyone else could follow? And that's what I wanted to leave as my final thing before we move to the final question. So thanks.
Can I follow up on that thought briefly, please? I really like how you highlighted invite to parties, invite to homes. And this is something that is really important. I've seen that when immigrants, parents, especially those who have very little interactions with, you know, people, how they approach with distrust institutions. So the moment an average immigrant is walking into any office, he doesn't trust any official there. He's working in his best interest. He's very skeptical. So it comes off in the interaction. So this is a very important point. And the question is, if I am working with people from various backgrounds, how many times have I probably opened my home to have a meal with them, just to understand? If we are not able to do that, then we are not ready to leave our comfort zone and solve the problem. And I would tell you, if we really do this, bring those we do not know to our closest space, it would do a lot in terms of breaking this barrier. It would build trust. When I had this workshop with the teachers, I asked, how many times have you picked up a phone and call the parent that, hey, I want to tell you that your son or daughter is really doing good at school. I want to say thank you for being a good parent. It doesn't happen really. It only happens, hey, I want to tell you that your son, there's a problem. You need to come to school. So anytime an average immigrant parent gets a call or an invitation to school, it's not usually in the, you know, it's not anything good. Can we change that? It will go a long way. Because what can this, let's think, for example, what can this do? If me as a parent get a call from my son's or daughter's teacher saying that, hey, you really have been a good parent. I know it's very difficult for you, but keep the good job up. Who do you think I would call the next time I have a serious problem in school? With trust, with telling how things are. So this is something we might think, how can I contribute personally? Because it requires not only a societal change, but an individual change. We have all our own biases. We all do have them. But how do I take my biases to the background and try to see, okay, there are many problems we could see when looking at someone, but let's start from actually the good start, the good points. How do we take it further from there? Because starting from a good point is actually what would take us to a point where we understand each other. And I like that you related this to gang violence. And we can really ask the questions. Why do immigrant kids end up being in gangs? There's a reason for that. And unless we are really looking at the real problems, why these people end up belonging, because this is a question of belonging. You want to belong somewhere. And that's the easiest place to feel that you belong, because you would be accepted for who you are. So can we start accepting these guys for who they are somewhere else? And that could go like, they're doing things differently. It doesn't matter. An average immigrant kid is very loud, very restless. It's not a bad thing. It's a different way of doing things, which is okay. And we need to start sending that message, that it's okay to be like this, so that they don't start taking that issue of belonging somewhere else where it would not serve a good purpose. So individually, we have quite a lot to do in this regard. And that means taking our own biases into questions and saying, am I really able or am I willing to do what it takes to make this a better society? Because overall, we can state whatever we want to about this issue. But unless we start doing the very, very basic, and that's the important thing, the very small things, and over time, we would see the result that it would be totally different.
Thank you very much. This has been really interesting. You have brought up many very important ideas and points and visions for the future as well. What then finally are your personal and professional goals for the future? How do you see your role in the immigrant and entrepreneurial communities evolving in the future?
Thank you for that. I can share a story here, because with Integrate, for example, at one point I was really tired. You know, running these, it bit quite a lot into my time and my ability to do something. So at some point, you know, during the Corona time, I felt like I couldn't do this anymore. I had to start pursuing different goals. And I got a call from one of his friends, Sam, who has been part of our community from early on. And he told me, man, we really accomplished a lot. We can't let this go. That actually was the revitalization I needed. One thing that makes me happy is that the ability that I could look at the information that we passed to someone, I would say, hey, that information really helped me do this and do that. And it took me forward. And that's what we want to accomplish. When I came to Finland, I found that I felt like I was thrown into the sea to swim when I didn't know how to swim. I had to struggle with a lot of, struggling with access to information, the right information. And that's something that we've tried to provide through Integrate. So going forward, I really want to use some of these stories in a way that it brings about change. The research I told you about, in the end, what it actually stated, that even though this research was very concise, concrete, but there's something that it missed. The experiences of people that have suffered discrimination. And such experiences are very, very important to highlight. So what I want to do going forward is actually highlight individual stories of people, what it means to be an immigrant. What does it mean to leave home, leave everything you know, and seek life in uncertainty? It's a quality that we might need to examine further to see how can we tap into that quality. Because someone who has been able to do that can offer quite a lot. And this is something that I'm trying to do going forward. I'm working on a project. I don't want to talk about it so much now, but I can tell you it's revolving around this showcasing this immigrant experience, the average immigrant experience. What does it really mean to be an immigrant? Because the word carries quite a negative connotation when you talk about it these days. But how can we start looking at the beauty of it? We are all immigrants, if you really think about it. And unless we start seeing ourselves as that, something that we would not get a real solution to the problem that we are facing, which is the disconnect. So I'm really looking forward to highlighting more of these stories. I'm working on this project, and I'm sure that somehow, if it's able to touch, and this is the goal that really makes me happy, as long as one person is able to be affected positively by anything that I'm doing, it's the result that I really want. And this is something that has kept me happy, and this is something that I intend to keep pursuing. So Integrate will keep happening, and I wish it's a way that it has more impact than we've achieved so far. We are going to keep remaining small, because that's how we find that we are able to impact more on a very small community. But overall, I am going to keep working at all I've been doing so far, because it really makes me happy. And just keep tuned and watch as we progress. I think that's all I would say about that. I don't know if that answers the question.
Well, thank you. This sounds really good. Really nice answer. Thank you very much for being with us today. Yeah, we'll continue to work in the future as well. We're looking forward to that.
Thank you so much, Max. I really appreciate you guys. Like I said in the beginning, Astrid, I really appreciate you and your communication so far on emails. And I'm really looking forward to us doing more things in the future. So please, let's keep the door open and see where it goes.
Thank you so much, Asita. Maybe we'll do another episode next year and check in and see what happened in a year. We can see. Okay.
Yes. Thank you so much for that.
All right, thank you so much. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Visions of a Better World podcast. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.